In Ephesians 1, if you turn to the 11th and 12th verse, God may take you to the 13th or the 14th. I always tell people it's nice what I put up on the screen, but what's even better is if while we're reading that, God takes you somewhere else in there and speaks to you personally. But let's read what he's given me to give to you this morning. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to be put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. You were chosen. You were chosen by God before the beginning of time. You were chosen. I like this little poster because it really takes it and steps it a step beyond chosen. You know, Faith, you're blessed. You were blessed. Carla, you've been adopted into God's family. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Emily, you are 100% accepted. 100% accepted by him. Hubs, you are redeemed. And he did it for you. Can you get your head around that? He forgave you.
Amen.
It's not just all some nice talk. And as the song just said, he rescued you. He rescued you. And if it ends at the rescue, if it stops there at the rescue, it's good. You get to go dance in heaven. But it was not God's purpose or plan that it would be just for the sake of your rescue that he died. You see, his desire is for us to be conformed into his own image. His desire is to bring out what he originally designed us to be in his image. His design, his plan, his purpose was that we who are rescued would become we who rescue. He speaks of, you know, as you forgive others, so you will be forgiven. In so many ways, he asks us to follow in his footsteps. Because he rescued you, he chose you, he adopted you, he redeemed you, he forgave you. He wants to change you by making you more like him to rescue others. It's a case for evangelism, it's a case for service, it is the fact of our lives. But when he came to earth and he presented himself before us, well, can you tell me who said this? Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me. Jesus. You see, the disciples said, no, no, don't bother him. They said, no, let him come to me. Let those children come to me. And as I planned this teaching this morning, it's Sanctity of Life Sunday, and God composed something together, I think. At least he seemed to in the first one, and put different people together to create this. You're actually going to hear from a number of different people this morning. And I'm going to start out because she is my favorite welcomer. I'm going to ask my favorite child welcomer to come up front, my wife Darlene. She's getting ready to leave me for 6 weeks again. Oh, okay. To go play with real live orphans. And I'm going to be joining her in about a month. Yeah, about a month. Okay. And I always, before she leaves, I like to pray for her. But I decided to combine it together with just a general prayer time this morning. You know, I want you to lift up Darlene's journey. I want you to do that. Prayer is so important. And I want you to pray for others around you. When we go to prayer time, please feel free to speak up. I tell John, I hope he doesn't have time for the last songs. You know, I hope you pray so long and you lift so many things before him, not just in your hearts, but out loud, that the Father in heaven will dance with delight himself, hearing from you this morning. And pray. Pray to encourage others. Pray to provide for others. And should God move you to participate in someone's life, be it an orphan in Haiti or the person next door to you, pray you will be able to be part of a life and changing a life. John, I'm going to ask you again to close with the Lord's Prayer when we're done. If you want to lift your hand or you want to come up and lay a hand in Darlene because you feel so moved, please feel free to do so. But please feel free over the next few minutes that if God prompts you or leads you, to please pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you put us here together this morning. And you have a purpose and a plan and a design for this teaching. I do lift my wife before you, Lord. As she prepares for this trip, as she prepares to go once again, I feel that things are in place, but then things like the scabies come along. It is because we trust you, because we know what you are doing, Lord, that we know that you have gone before and prepared just the place for her and for the team members that I will take later. Just I know you've prepared a place for each person in the lives of others right here. Oh, Father, I ask that you hear now the prayers of your people. Be attentive, Lord, to our prayers. This morning really wasn't about Haiti. It's just amazed me how God has brought different people together over the past couple of weeks to be in this service. Like I say, it's Sanctity of Life Sunday, and I asked the Lord what I should do, and he told me to talk about a specific subject, so I'm doing so this morning. I want to introduce you to a young couple. This is Brian and Virginia Riley. As you can see, young and in love and making that commitment. Let me show you a little more recent picture of Brian and Virginia. This is Brian and Virginia with their two daughters, Sierra and Cheyenne. Now, let's do some math here. Go back to the other picture, Gail. So, go ahead. Take a guess. What year were they married? What did you say? 59. Yeah, good. A little bit more. 69. They're celebrating their, 48th wedding anniversary this year? Something like that. Now, the two girls, their two daughters, Sierra and Cheyenne, are, this is about 3 years ago. So Sierra is 11 now, and Cheyenne is 8. And how the girls came to them is not one of those stories that you kind of look at and go, I want it to be this way. But Sierra came into their family when they took their daughter to the hospital. And upon taking their daughter to the hospital, after a drug test, Sierra was taken away from her. And so rather than Sierra going into the foster care system, Brian and Virginia said, okay. And Brian tells me, he said, you know, I told her when she got pregnant, and we didn't know really who the father was, that I was not going to end up being the dad to her kid. And I'm right, I'm not the dad to her kid, I'm a dad to my kid. And a few years later, while their daughter Laura was in jail, Cheyenne was born. Like I say, they've never known any different in so many ways. The the girls, all the girls know is that's mom and dad. But I want you to do some math. How old are mom and dad now? The vast majority of us in this room, including Ron and Ole and myself, and are much younger than they are. Okay? They told me the other day they're 69 and 68. You see, but they knew God had called them, had chosen them, had put them in the place at the right time to step into these two young girls' lives. And like Virginia told me, I can't imagine it any other way. These are our daughters. There's no maybe about it. And the girls, well, they probably see their parents look a little older. I said, so, okay, let's do the math, Brian. What happens when we graduate high school or college? Will you? And I got about as far as will you? He says, we are going to be young for a long time. I said, okay. And then Virginia pipes in and she goes, I'm going to see my grandkids. I love the attitude. See, they were rescued. They became rescuers. God put them in a position to do that. I'm going to introduce you to three different families today. Some you know, some you don't especially know. First family I'm going to introduce you to is the Brandon family. And when I bring the Brandon family forward, I want you to understand who they are. Sammy married Kevin. Sammy was a Rittering. Rittering was married to Foss. Foss owned La Paloma. It is why I live in my house where I live in right now, because they adopted us into their family. I actually, in the earlier service, I was sitting there watching something at the end inside their house, and I realized that in 1987, when my family went and lived with their family because we were getting ready to go out in missions, the trash can in the back scene in the kitchen was in their parents' house back in 1987. I'm like, whoa, that's the same thing. And it made me just realize how they had taken us into their family, adopted us into their family, and what a tradition it is. Anyhow, I want to let Sammy and Kevin tell you a little bit of their story. This is my longest video this morning, but I thought all the points that they had to talk about were very important for you to hear. I did cut out a whole chunk in the middle. Kevin, by the way, is a media software engineer, so I got a production when I asked for a video. So I've done some trimming.
Hi, my name's Kevin, and this is Sammy, and we're the Brandon family, and we're foster adoptive parents from Orange County, California, and we're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves today.
So we have four girls. They are 8, 7, 4, and 3. Our little one right on the side is Claire. We adopted her a year and a half ago from the LA County foster system. We're also currently fostering another little girl, and she's one.
Yep. So we have five girls in our house, plus you.
And the dog.
Yep. That's us.
He's outnumbered.
A little bit. Okay, so we were asked to give three reasons why we started this foster adopt journey. And really the first one is just that there's such a big need for foster parents, especially in the LA Orange County area. There are so many children out there that need homes, that are actively waiting for homes. I know when we got Claire, she was just born. She was in the hospital and she needed a home, and she was there for four or five days before they called us, and there was nobody ready to take her. And when we went and when we got her, we actually visited her in the hospital. And there were like two or three other babies there at the Long Beach Miller's Hospital that actively needed homes that was, they were really just staying in the hospital. They were extending the stay in the hospital because that way they could have more time to find a home. Anyway, huge need though. And especially here, there's a huge need. So,
yeah.
That's one of the reasons.
And another reason, we feel like the church is uniquely suited, has been called to fill that need. And we, as members of the church, just want to be a part of filling that need.
Yeah. Okay, so the second reason that we got into foster care and adoption, this might sound hokey, but when we look around the world today, we see a lot of hate. There's hate everywhere, and we want to know how can we make a difference in the world? How can we make the world a better place? And what we kind of came to the conclusion is the best way to combat, you know, hate in the world is through radical love. It's the opposite, right? And we see that in the Bible when Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? We know that we need to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. But number two is we need to love our neighbor as ourself. And when we look at the most vulnerable neighbors here, they are the orphan and the child, the helpless child. And so, you know, we're not going to be able to solve these major problems in the world as individuals, but we can change the world of another individual. We can love, you know, our most helpless neighbors in a way that can really change their lives, and it changes our lives as well. And so we really see it as a way where we can, you know, love somebody in this, you know, unique way that really is beyond, you know, the typical love. And it's something that's actually very exciting to do. And it's really kind of fun to think that, you know, we get to be this special thing in our daughter's lives. Yeah.
It really seems like it's the way Jesus loved us, and it's the way he loved the world, was that sacrificial kind of love. It's just our way of trying to love people the way he loved us.
Yeah.
So the final reason that came to mind was that we just want to be consistent with what we say we believe and try to bring our lives into consistency with that. If we say that we believe that Jesus is our King and the King has called us to serve the helpless and to feed and clothe those who are vulnerable, if we really believe that, we should be doing it. And so that's, it's just our way of trying to serve the King. And also, you know, Jesus calls us to take up our cross and to lay down our lives and to live out the gospel in crazy ways sometimes. doesn't always have to be crazy, right? But this is just the way that our family is trying to obey our King.
Yeah.
So.
Feed the hungry, clothe the naked. It's
pretty,
like,
simple, actually, right?
Very straightforward. Yeah.
It sounds simple.
Yeah.
Until it comes into your house.
Yep. All right. Okay. So one of the other things that we were asked is, are there any unexpected bonuses that we've gotten? Or I don't understand the question, but. Well, the biggest thing, and I can't really think of anything like specific other than we've gotten Claire, this beautiful, wonderful child who's just blossomed. She's what, 3 and a half? Three? She's 3 now. She's just like, I just think she's the coolest little thing ever. And she's just been wonderful. I don't know, like, that's what a blessing she is to our family, and that's just been great. And maybe it's not unexpected. You would hope that you'd adopt a child and that you would love the child or whatever, but like, so maybe it's not unexpected, but it's been great. You know, having her has been wonderful, and I don't know what else. Yeah.
I definitely think that the kids themselves are their own reward, and I was feeling like over the weekend when I was in the hospital with our foster daughter that I was paid in smiles and snuggles, and that was
smiles.
Its own reward.
We got a lot of smiles.
And
now that she's better too, she's home, finally she's home from the hospital, and she's just smiling all day long. She's just so adorable.
Yeah, there's just like, nothing like being the one that they want when they're sick. That's a huge honor, and that's its own reward, I felt like.
Coming home from work and having her light up, like this little baby that we've had for 3 months now, she lights up when I walk in the room. Like, that's a big bonus. It really is.
Yeah. You know? I also feel like for me, I'm not going to speak for Kevin, but I tend to do anxiety. And for me to step into foster care and to no longer live in the fear of like, oh, what if we do foster care? I'm too afraid to do foster care, to step into it and to find that like God's met me here with peace and confidence and clarity. That is a huge gift.
Yeah, I think a lot of clarity. Like I know we used to struggle with what are we going to do with our lives?
Yeah.
We want to do something with our lives. And now it's just so obvious that, you know, we have a nice, big, stable family, and like we're well suited. At least we feel like we're well suited to do this. Like, you know, we're very clear on what we're doing right now. That's a bonus.
It's really nice to have a lot of clear purpose and not feel like we're floundering and looking for what we are supposed to do, how we're supposed to serve. And I just feel like there's so much peace in just obeying, because when you obey, then God blesses you.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just think, oh man, this is painful. God, please bless us. But he does. He always does. And most of the time I feel like he blesses us with peace. And
little,
that's
little
all we
baby
need.
Smiles. Little baby
and smiles.
That's what we get.
Yep.
Oh. All right. I think that's it.
All right.
Thank you very much. I don't know why we're thanking you. Never mind. I'll cut that out.
Bye.
Hey, Claire, can you tell me your name?
Claire.
What's your last name?
Claire the Age of Ballerina.
Claire is a ballerina. Claire? Evelyn? What's your last name?
Pinkla.
Claire, Evelyn, Ballerina. What about Claire, Evelyn, Brandon?
No.
Yeah.
Evelyn, Brandon.
Is that your name?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Brandon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We like you being a Brandon, right? Mm-hmm. And can you tell me what happened on your adoption day?
I got adopted.
You got adopted, and you were a Brandon, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you get?
Donuts.
What were they like?
I got them from my friends.
Yeah, from your friends?
Yeah.
And what did they have on them?
Rainbow sprinkles.
Yeah. They were yum, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Look, you have to see Claire is a ballerina. See? Claire the ballerina.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Excuse me. I've got advice for him when he gets along here. I have four daughters also. So we always had male cats and dogs, though. So that's I had an advantage up on him in that. Well, I love the four things that they bought forward. And you notice the little smile that Sammy gave Kevin when he says, okay, the second thing. After she had just done the second reason, she said there were three things. Well, actually, they gave four. One, they saw the need. They saw the big need. Not a little need, a big need. There is need for foster parents and adoptive parents. Second, and most important, the church is called. We were rescued to be rescuers. Okay? That's why we were rescued. And the church is not this building. Okay? Let's be clear. They understand completely. We are the church. The third one kind of surprised me. I didn't think of them going there. But radical love is an answer to hate. And this be the way to radically love is an answer to hate. As he was talking it through, I'm like, wow, I never quite recognized that truth. But that is so true. That is so true. And then the final reason is they wanted their walk to be consistent with their talk. Because so often, all of us find that our walk and our talk are not always consistent. Well, I'm going to introduce you to another family. As a matter of fact, I don't even got to really spend any time introducing you to another family. Let's just hope the volume's up for the start. Let's just let them introduce themselves.
Howdy, y'all from Texas. This is Bert Lyon.
And Cindy Lyon.
And we just wanted to talk to you about the blessings that we had in adopting. And Cindy and I were talking about this after Scott sent us the questions. And it's amazing how God blesses you even when you don't expect the blessing. We found out early in our marriage that we couldn't have kids, and we were still reeling from that and trying just to understand what we had been told. And during that time, I was young in my career and had just transferred to patrol and had things to focus on there. But God brought us our son. It wasn't something that we went out and tried to find or tried to do ourselves. God brought Ian to us at a time where we were at a low point, I would say. And he was blessing us. One of the things that I always pray about is provision. And not just looking at the everyday provision, but God provided even in that situation.
And when we were talking about it, I was telling Bert, it's like I was still grieving being told you won't be able to have children. And I got a phone call from Bert at work asking me if I wanted to be a mom. And so, and God, that was just God's plan. And to see the blessing of seeing how God is at work in the details of your life when you don't even expect it and you are not even thinking about that. It's just amazing to see how God's there even when you don't expect it. And we know that he is, but to see that, and as we look back, of course, you know, Ian's just turned 27 and we have two beautiful granddaughters. So just the blessing of, I guess, knowing that God's at work in our lives, even when we're not thinking about it. And we know that he is at work, but to be able to have the blessing of being a parent, to watch Ian grow up, to see God at work in his life and throughout his life. We had struggles just like I'm sure every family does. It might be a little bit different through adoption, but I think that's normal. But just the blessing of being a family, of being a mom, being able to share experiences and
Well, and one of the big questions that a lot of adopted parents go through is, do we say anything about, is our child adopted? And Cindy and I started off this experience with wanting an open adoption, wanting Ian to know that he was adopted. There's nothing wrong with that.
And he knew that from the day he was born. We talked about it.
He did. And that also gives you the opportunity to talk about God's blessing in your life and that God brought our son to us. And Cindy and I were talking about this morning, we always had people say, oh, he looks like you, or he looks like Cindy, or he acts like. And we knew from that was always confirmation to us that
it was God's plan.
God's plan for Ian to be in our household and for Ian to be our family. And the blessing, you know, we went through the blessings of everything that Ian did. Ian is the only one of the three of us who's gone to college and finished college. There's a lot of blessings there. He wanted to follow in my footsteps with the military. There were a lot of blessings. And it's the same ups and downs. Just because he's adopted doesn't mean that the ups and downs in the family change. It's the same ups and downs we all face as parents and children. But for us now to look at the family we have with our grandkids, we have a son, we have a daughter-in-law, we have two wonderful granddaughters, and we would never have had those blessings had God not brought Ian into our family or made us a family. And again, Cindy was saying that, you know, she all of a sudden received a phone call. I had a friend out of the blue that I was working with. We were both on training in patrol that is one of the people that God worked through to bring Ian to us. And it was totally out of the blue. He surprised me when he came in and told me about it. And it was amazing that we weren't even focused on that. And God brought Ian to us. And
that was before Ian was born.
And that was before he was born. We were around for most of the pregnancy and involved in that with the birth mother. One of the verses that I really apply to this is Psalm 139:14 that says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And to me, those words, fearfully and wonderfully made, means that God doesn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. God is perfect. And when he puts together a family, that's what he means to do, and that's what's supposed to happen. And I didn't question a lot of whether things were going to happen and Ian was going to be taken away during the 8 months that we had him before we actually went to court and had the judge sign. I didn't worry about that because I believed that was where Ian was supposed to be. And so I think one of the biggest blessings out of this was just how God blessed us and showed us how he provides for us.
And just to see that it was all God's plan, that it was his design for Ian to be our son and for us to be his parents, to look back now and to see that and to know how much God loves us. Sorry. And to see how much to know as a parent, you know that God loves your child more than you could ever love them. And so I guess to be chosen to be Ian's mom was a blessing to me, because to know that I was part of God's plan.
For Ian, yeah.
For Ian.
So.
Sorry.
But thank you. We
love really you guys.
Love you guys. We miss you, and we thank you for allowing us to be part of this.
The way, if you notice, Bert and Cindy are coordinators for Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes. Next week, I'm going to try and play a little video of them just talking about the trip with Operation Christmas Child that Bert and Cindy are, or Bert is heading to Rwanda here soon. He wants you to know about it. You know, they talked about how they were chosen for Ian. And just as Kevin and Sammy were chosen for Claire, just as Virginia and Brian were chosen for Sierra and Cheyenne. Yeah, I was thinking about that and talking to people and, you know, sitting in the back of the room, nothing touches my heart more, I mean this seriously, than to hear Kate call Gail mom. There's no adoption papers, there's no anything else like that, but she's mom. My daughters call me dad, and it means so much. But you know, whether it be orphans or whether it be like Mary Lou and Carol Andu, and they got all these little critters running around them that keep changing every year and coming and going in a teaching situation. Whether it be that, it's all a matter of you were chosen to care for these children. That's what's amazing. And you choose to do it. You look like Jesus when you do that. And so, I mean, you know, if you send support to orphans through, you know, World Vision or Compassion, I love the way John and Carol Ann went running off to South America to visit their Compassion and World Vision children. I'm like, really? Well, you know, if you could just send support and prayer, that's what God's chosen you to do, what he's called you to do. But he was clear. Be welcoming. Be welcoming. I got one more couple I want you to meet. Oh, you know this couple. Their grandparents are usually sitting there in the first service, or their parents are usually sitting there in the first service, and they're down right now taking care of kids.
Hi, guys. I'm Phil.
I'm Christy.
And we are the youngest of the Hurst.
We're not.
The youngest.
Emma's the youngest Hurst.
Married Hurst. So we wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about adoption. We adopted a beautiful little girl back in August, and we fostered her for about a year prior to that. And I think we had a couple questions that Scott had us answer. Anything else? Okay. So we have a couple questions. One of those questions is, why did we want to adopt? Kristen, I'll let you take that.
So, I think for a lot of different reasons. I think one is mostly because we know God's heart for adoption and how important it is to him. I actually have this journal, and I wrote an entry on September of 2006. And I wrote the verse in James 1:27, where it says, "Religion that God accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." And so I think even from 2006, which was like 10 years before we adopted, I just felt like it was really important to God.
Yeah. And I think our experiences traveling through Indonesia, we saw these kids that just didn't have parents that were around, and we felt like we could take them and take care of them. And that was, I think, for us individually, I think that experience itself kind of was the birth of that idea of tangibly, like, oh my goodness.
Like actually seeing them and loving them.
Like, you know, you see it in scripture, but then when you see these kids who don't have parents around, you know, you have that, like, that tug of your heart saying, like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could definitely take care of these kids.
Okay, so what are some fears throughout the process?
Yeah, I think we had a lot of fears, unfortunately. I think fear that we had just doing it through social services was, you know, we fostered her for almost a year, and through that process, there's just a lot of unknowns. A big unknown is she going to be here forever? Through that, there was a lot of questions that we didn't know, and court dates that we didn't know how those were going to turn out. And so I think through those fears, we learned to trust God in that. and understand that he's the God of these judgments and these court dates and these situations. And so I think that was a big fear, is just the end result and not knowing if she was going to be with us forever. Okay, so what are some of the fears that you had going through this process?
So I think the whole process, all of it, was scary and unknown and learning to not be in control of anything.
Yeah.
Because really, you know, the kid gets placed in your home and you love the kid the best you can, and the rest is up to God and
right.
and your judges and your social workers, and it's scary, and right. you're always afraid of losing the kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, which is terrifying. And then I think afraid of, like, you know, are we bonding fast enough, and like putting a lot of pressure on that is scary. Yeah. And
like, are we bonding fast enough? At the same time, is she going to another home?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot.
There's a lot that goes into that.
But, like, ultimately, you surrender your fears to God, and that's, like,
right.
the biggest blessing of all time, is, like, learning to trust God and see yeah. that He is faithful and in control and always loves Zoe more than we ever will.
Right. And He loves adoption more than we do.
Right.
And, like, going back to, like, every day for us was
right.
that, like, all right, this is what God wants.
Right.
And you gotta walk in that.
Right. We didn't laugh or cry.
Okay. What are some unexpected blessings that we have had through this process?
So I think the biggest blessing we've had is obviously Zoe. And she's yes. just like the cutest, happiest, most
yes.
biggest light in our life. And mm-hmm. she's just so fun. And she just wakes up happy and singing. And
yeah.
And she loves people. And
yeah.
She's just such a joy to be around.
Yeah. I think that was unexpected. Because I don't think I went into this process like...
Well, you just never know. And you hear horror stories.
Yeah. So I think that was such a blessing. Just who God has created this little
yeah.
human.
Yeah. And how... I mean, she's just our kid.
Yeah.
Like, I forget she's adopted.
Yeah. We confuse a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is good.
She, like, looks close enough to Phil.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah. And then I think another blessing is just for, I think, us in our personal life, just realizing, like, man, how much we love Zoe and, like, how much God loves us through that process.
Right. And when He talks about us being adopted in as His children.
Right.
Like, just the love that we have for her.
Yeah.
And how, in comparison, like, to how much right. He loves us.
And we are so flawed.
Right.
And God is not.
Right.
So it's so cool.
Right.
You!
I think another blessing, too, is just, like, seeing such a tangible answer to prayer with her, and like sitting right. in the room we had ready for her and just like praying and crying and like
right
I can't do it.
And like not only us, but like obviously like mom and dad praying and people from the church praying
right.
and like
right
a lot of people praying for us, you know, and like
right.
getting notes of encouragement and things
yeah.
like that, and then seeing
like her in that room that we sat
right.
in and prayed in.
Right. And it's not like, oh, yeah, I got an A on a test. Like, yeah. No, this is like a human, you know? Like, it's so big.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So good.
Hey, what's your name?
Zoe.
How old are you?
10.
Do you want to sing a song?
Yes.
You want to sing Jesus Loves Me?
Yes.
You sing
yes.
Jesus Loves Me?
Jesus. No.
Good job.
Good job. Okay, can you say bye bye?
Bye.
See you later.
Kisses. Okay, blue kisses.
I don't think there's a lot of quiet in that house. She definitely knows she was rescued. It's a happy girl. I love to see these kids. I always love it when I go to Haiti. I haven't been for over a year, and I do, because you walk into the orphanage and the kids are just like, ah, and it's so cool. I haven't mentioned the first service. I have this big, I don't know, 6 foot something black guy that, and I walk in, he's, Dad! Okay, great. One of our missions is Network Medical. Network Medical is a provider in Santa Barbara. And on their webpage, they talk about what their purpose is. And their purpose is to present options to the prospective mother. They provide pregnancy testing. They will do an ultrasound. And because of state law, if you look at their options page, you will see that they discuss the option of the morning after pill and the abortion option, although they are an extremely pro-life organization. But number three on their list that they put in there is the option of adoption, which if you see my little tag here, it says adoption, the loving option. I've got some tags out there for you if you want when you go. Also have a little booklet that you guys might like just about answering people's questions about the whole pro-life, pro-choice debate. But anyhow, here's the honest truth. Network Medical can only present adoption as a loving option as people are willing to do that. As you heard, the need is great. I'm not saying God's calling you to it today, but in any case, you were rescued to rescue. I don't know what God's purpose or plan for you is. It's not like anybody else's. It's different. It's not the same thing. You may find yourself thinking you're going to be grandparents and suddenly you're parents. You may find yourself unable to have a child and suddenly God says, here's one. You may have a bunch of children and maybe too early in life, too late in life, too rich, too broke. God will do what God's going to do if you will allow him to do that. If you will welcome the little children. So the only question I have for you is very, very simply, who will you welcome? Who will you welcome? Father, thank you today for the people gathered here, for the way you speak to their hearts. Thank you for the word that you gave to me to give today. And you have a design, you have a purpose, you have reasons in all things. And we all just want to see those reasons work out in our lives. Father, may we follow hard after you. May we recognize how we are chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, rescued. And may we become more like you each day. May we know that we live life with a purpose. May we live life as rescuers. In Jesus' name, amen.